The New Testament reading comes out of the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God in Scripture, the word of God among us, the word of God within us. Not too long ago, I had conversations with some of my childhood friends, Jan and Sandy. We grew up in the Bay Area, and we thought we would always live here. We knew it was the perfect place. And then Jan and Sandy went to Cal Berkeley, and I went to the University of Oregon, and I never came back to the Bay Area for 30-some-odd years. But Jan, she stayed in town. She went to law school. She became a lawyer. She is important in her company. She travels. She's close to her family. She owns a house in Walnut Creek, and she's now undergoing a kitchen renovation. And then there's Sandy, who fell in love with a Texan and moved to Texas after college, and she never came back. She ended up in Corpus Christi, which could be nothing like San Francisco, except there's water. And she has three kids, one in college, two in high school. She's a nurse, a mother, a church member. Her house is what they call gently a fixer-upper, and it's been that way for 20 years. There's kind of a craziness in her house. There's school and church and swim practice and who gets the car when and who goes to drama club. And her mom, who is now disabled, has moved from the Bay Area down to Corpus Christi. And there's a marked difference between the three of us. First, Jan was the only one that actually stayed here and did what we thought we were going to all do. But she's the one that doesn't exactly feel happy. She told that to me recently. So I called up Sandy on a whim and said, "Are you happy?" And Sandy said, "Maggie, I don't have time for happy." And then she laughed and she said, "Yes, but I have some joyful moments. I have a lot to be thankful for." See, Jan sensed that there was something incomplete from her life, something missing, and she wasn't satisfied. And Sandy, life did not go how she expected at all, but she found reason to be thankful in the midst of it. The conversations reminded me of an article I read a while ago in a magazine called Presbyterian Today. It was by Reverend Dr. Ben Campbell, and the article was entitled "Joy, God's Unexpected Gift." And he told that joy is not dependent on circumstances, but flows from a relationship with God. He made clear that joy and happiness are not the same thing, that happiness in today's world seems to be dependent on circumstances, and that the circumstances would be pleasant and our needs would be met, and that we have the approval of family and friends, and generally, we would feel happy with our lives. But joy is different. Joy comes from within and is not dependent on circumstances. Happiness comes from having enough, and the thought is it can be guaranteed by what we possess. And this is what is kind of put forth on Black Friday. I don't know where that term comes from, but it's the big sales day. I've seen advertisements that encourage us to get up at 4:30 in the morning. And if your Thanksgiving wasn't good, those sales will make you complete. Now, Sandy, she had figured out that happiness wasn't about things. See, joy kind of comes up and surprises us in the moment. Sandy had found out it could happen in the midst of her crazy life, at a grace, at a meal, in a conversation, just snatched in a car ride. Ben Campbell puts it this way: joy flows freely. It's received as a gift. Happiness depends upon us changing circumstances. Joy is characterized by relinquishment and by embracing. Happiness is characterized by grasping and clinging and depending. Joy adapts to the unexpected. Happiness happens when it feels like we get what we deserve. Joy changes us, and happiness seeks changed circumstances. Joy and happiness. I heard this definition retold, but they didn't know they were retelling it. A friend was talking about Christmas in her family. There are two children, and my friend starts worrying about what to get her sister in August because she never gets the gift right. Never. And she thinks her sister calculates how much money she'll spend, so after a while she just buys something expensive and hope it would work. Well, finally she got brave with her sister and talked to her about this tradition. They had been sending each other Christmas presents. They lived across the country, but they would always do a Christmas stocking. Now, that was great when they were in college, but they were over 50 now, and my friend said, "Don't you think we can give up the stockings? We're 50. She probably shouldn't have mentioned that. She said, "Can't we give up stockings?" And her sister said, "No." And she said, "Why?" She said, "We had a simple Christmas. There weren't much in our stockings. It was just a little something." And her sister said, "This is about the Christmases we never had." Do you get that? Her sister figured out the stockings were about Christmases she never had. She was trying to fill a need, a hurt, a happiness that had not been met when she was a child. And from that honesty, they had a discussion about what love and family really meant. And we too get caught with the idea that things can make us complete, that they can fill the gaps, that they can say, "I love you," in ways we cannot do on our own. But if we're true with ourselves, we know that those gifts that are really well thought out are the best. Do you know that your parents probably love the gifts that you made them versus the ones you bought? I wonder if you had an aunt or an uncle or a parent who kept that lovely orange juice container that you covered in fabric or drew on and called a pencil holder and treated that like it was a treasure. I recently cleaned out some of my family things and found a box that my mother had collected my cards and letters in that I had sent her. And one of my few secular jobs was I worked at Hallmark. This is back in the 80s when that was big. Now, I was also fired at Christmas during Hallmark. So your pastor is a lousy rapper, but I had a lot of nice cards to give my mother. So I opened the box and I thought that would be all those nice Hallmark cards. They had really pretty things on them and they'd say beautiful things and you could just sign your name. Well, I opened the box and I was a bit surprised because those fancy Hallmark cards weren't there. She had torn the covers off and kept the part where I'd just written my name. And the cards she kept more were the ones where I'd written her a note that say, "I love you," or "I'm sorry." Or she kept the cards I made when I was a child, and they were all a little off and too much glitter, and my spelling was terrible even then. But those were the treasures, those handmade things. That was joy for her. That was the thing that came in an embracing kind of love that came spontaneously. And I think about the word joy, and I think about the word thanksgiving. And joy comes from being known that we're loved from God. It's a sense of knowing that you don't have to be perfect. It's a sense that comes from knowing God loves us, and we share that love forever. And sometimes we get the sense of that joy in hymns. I was a part of a church planning, old church retreat, where we picked the theme, that wonderful hymn, It's a Gift to Be Simple. Do you know that one? You'll hear it now. Now, you know that beautiful hymn, and my congregation wanted to do the whole retreat of it. So they had activities about gifts and talking about Thanksgiving, and they wanted to do a dance at the end, the whole church in a big old gym. And I said, great, I'll hire someone, because I'm not a dancer. So I knew someone. She was going to leave everyone in dancing. And then she called the day of the retreat and said, I can't come, I have the flu. So I emailed everyone and said, we won't have dancing. It's not going to happen. They said, oh, yes, we will, and we'd like you to lead it. Well, I was an associate pastor then, and I didn't know how to say no so well. And they thought I was competent in this area. And I want to tell you, I'm scared of dancing. I come from this very, honestly, I am dance impaired. We had social dance when I was in junior high. And the boys would ask you to dance, and if the boys wouldn't ask you to dance, then retired policemen off duty had to dance with you. Now, you can imagine the stigma. And now I wonder, what did those policemen do to have to dance with junior high girls at social dance? And too often, I was asked to dance by the policeman. Not a good thing. It was just terrible. So I was thrilled when the disco era was over and the 80s came and you could dance without moving your feet. It was much better for me. But I just don't like to dance, and they wanted me to lead a dance. And my friend said, Maggie, you know how to do this. I taught you how to do this. And I said, yes, but do you remember? And she said, yes. I want you to get everyone in a big circle and simply go three steps to the right and three steps to the left and go in and out and have them all sing it together. And I said, okay. And I led the congregation in dancing. And I wish I could tell you it was beautiful. It was joyful. And we did it. And what I learned, it didn't matter how it looked. It was the beautiful words getting into people's body, and it was moving them. And they did it together, young and old, in this dance of joy, imperfect, beautiful, and dancing. That's the kind of joy that God is talking about. We offer what we can do, and we do it together. It's what Psalm 100 talks about. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Worship the God with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. And we have this joy because the Lord is God, and God made us. God made you, and we are God's. We are God's people, the sheep of his pastures. And God's steadfast love endures for all generations. See, that's where joy comes from, knowing that God has created us and God loves us. It's what the Philippians passage says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. Those are words of joy. God is near, at hand, has two meanings. It means once, well, really, it does mean God is near to us. God is close. God is our creator, and we're in relationship with God. It also meant to the readers at that time, well, they thought Christ was coming back in their lifetime, and they thought literally God is near. But they learned, and we learned, that God has a different calendar. And now we understand that means that God is in our future. God holds us. God is with us. God never leaves us. Even when it feels like God is far away, God is not. It's a joyful passage. It says, even when we don't understand what's going on in the world, God is with us. It's that word peace that passes all understanding. Well, you know this. It's God's world, and we don't quite get it. But God promises to be with us. Do not worry about anything, but in everything give prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be known to God. It says, when you pray, remember to give thanks. Even when it's hard, give thanks. Don't worry here. It doesn't really minimalize the bad times. What it's saying is don't exaggerate them. Don't let them get a hold of you to be distracted and anxious. Be alert. Don't let them overwhelm you. Remember that you are God's. And in that knowledge, we are rooted in this incredible joy. Things may be out of control, but we are God's. We may pray to God, and the answer may not be yes, but the promise is God will never leave us. This is the promise of God's peace. This kind of joy comes in the oddest places and the oddest moments. It happened to Corrie Ten Boom. I don't know if you've read her books, but they're worth reading. She was a Christian during World War II in Holland, and her family sought to seek and to find and to hide Jewish people, the people they knew and loved, and strangers too. And in one day, 35 of her family members and friends were arrested, 35. And her father died 9 days after her arrest and his arrest, and she and her sister were sent to a concentration camp. She tells the story this way. Years ago, I was alone in a cell for 4 months. One day, for the first time, a beam of light shone across the window, and I jumped up and stood in the sunshine, and it touched my face, and slowly it moved, and I moved too, to enjoy that sun for as long as possible. It was one of those moments that I realized my loneliness like never before. I cried to the Lord, and he answered, "Have you forgotten that I am with you always, under all circumstances? My sunshine, the sunshine is your love made known to you, my love for you. Have I not said, 'Lo, I am with you to the end of the world'? I am your peace. I am your joy now also." It's in the oddest moments we find the joy given to us by God. It can be in a meal shared in a hospital room with someone I love, someone you love, when it's a hospital food or it's an Ensure drink, but you're with that other person. A story is told about grandparents who decided their children didn't need any more money when they died, so they took their money and they bought a cruise for the whole family during Thanksgiving. Children, grandchildren, and they went on this cruise, all the cousins, all the siblings, all the in-laws, and they got back from the cruise, and one of the family sat down with their only child and said, "Tell me what was wonderful about that trip." They thought they'd say, "Oh, my cousins, you know, the chocolate buffet, the slides, the dolphins." And the child said, "The best thing was being together." See, that child got joy. Joy that comes in unexpected and surprising ways. God's joy is made known to you, friends, in Jesus Christ. There is joy in this room. There is joy in your lives. So this day and this Thanksgiving, I invite you to grasp that joy. to give thanks for that joy, to give that joy to others around you. May it be so.